Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Runners in the race of the Christian life know that sex in its proper place is a great gift, while passions out of control can ruin one's future. That's why God gave us Commandment Number 7. It's still in force, even in a sex-mad culture. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. On today's broadcast, Dr. Lutzer continues his series on the Ten Commandments as he brings a message on living with your passions.
When you talk to people today, they'll tell you that the Ten Commandments are basically out of date. There's one commandment especially that receives a lot of criticism and ridicule today. It's the seventh commandment, which says, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." Thou shalt not commit adultery. But of course, we're living in a day and age when our nation is inundated with sensuality. Consequently, we have things such as pornography that tell us that relationships with anyone at any time, under any circumstance, are okay, just as long as they are pleasurable. And then, of course, we have movies. Movies that teach that the rich and famous are involved in wife swapping and all kinds of evil and sensuality. And people think that's just the way it is. J. Allen Peterson, in his book entitled The Myth of the Greener Grass, says that there was a woman who was attending a class to learn French. She was with 11 other women, and one of the women said, "All those of you who have not been unfaithful to your husband," in other words, if you've been faithful to him, "how many of you have been? Raise your hand." Only one out of 11 raised her hand. Later on, this woman was telling her husband that, and he said, "Well, did you raise your hand?" And she said, "No." He said, "You mean you've been unfaithful?" She said, "No, I've been faithful." He said, "Why didn't you raise your hand?" She said, "I felt ashamed." Can you imagine that? We're living in a society where people are actually feeling ashamed because they're living a life of moral purity and fidelity. Television, that box that is in homes today that produces messages that are so damnable. One of the writers of TV scripts said that his goal is to get people to laugh at adultery, homosexuality, and incest. He said, if you can get people to laugh at these things, it breaks down their resistance to them. But nonetheless, regardless of what people say today, the Bible says, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." And that means to have a sexual relationship with a partner who belongs to somebody else. Now, what I'd like us to do today is to look at some reasons why God gave that command and why we should obey it. Why should we look at the seventh commandment and say, even though it happens to be the 20th century, this command is still valid for today? Let me give you some reasons. First of all, because God gave the command, because of the command. I can imagine there's someone here who says, "You know, I always thought that the pastor belonged to the 20th century, but apparently he doesn't." Do you mean to tell me that we should obey this command just because God says it? And I say to you, yeah, we ought to, just because God says it. Isn't that reason enough? God says it, I believe it, that's good enough for me. But of course, today we want to pry behind God's thinking and we want to find out why he says what he says. Well, first of all, let me say that God gave this commandment, first of all, so that there might be stability in the family, the stability of the family. If there's anything that a child craves, it is a mother and father who are committed to each other. Nothing causes more emotional hurt, more instability, more of a sense of the ripping apart of the security and the emotions than to know that father has run off because he has found someone else more attractive. But not only is it because of the stability of the family, God gave this commandment also because of our own emotional stability. Because there is something within us that says if we engage in sexuality apart from marriage, there is an inner destruction that takes place within. The Bible says in Proverbs that adultery destroys the soul. There is something within us that dies. Now, of course, all of us who have been pastors, and even those of us who haven't been, know that there are people today who say, but you have to understand, I am involved in a relationship that is meaningful to me. I remember a woman telling me, she said, you mean to say that this is wrong? She says, I live with an alcoholic. If I didn't have this affair on the side, I would have lost my sanity, she said. I finally find someone who understands me. A man told me one time, he says, finally, I have found an oasis, and now you're telling me to go back to the desert. Well, let me simply say flat out that I do believe that there are some adulterous relationships that are very loving and caring. There's no question about that. The problem with an adulterer is that he breaks 6 of the 10 commandments in order to have his relationship. You say, really? Yeah, really. Well, he certainly breaks the 7th, thou shalt not commit adultery. But what is the 1st commandment? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. An adulterer is somebody who says, I have found something that is more precious and more meaningful me to than God. I have found this relationship, and I don't care what God says, I need it. So he certainly breaks the 1st commandment that says, thou shalt not have other gods before me. Another commandment says, thou shalt not bear false witness. An adulterer pledged his allegiance in the presence of God and witnesses that he would be true to that one particular person. And of course, he not only breaks that vow, but I have yet to see a case of adultery where the person doesn't lie to cover up his sins. And the Bible says, thou shalt not bear false witness. Furthermore, another commandment is, thou shalt not steal. You remember when Nathan came to David, he said, David, you have stolen another man's wife. She belongs to another man, and you have taken her. You're guilty of stealing, David. The Bible says, honor your father and your mother. Almost always, an adulterer dishonors his father and his mother. And he most assuredly breaks the commandment, thou shalt not covet, which says, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor that which belongs to thy neighbor. That's actually where it begins. Do you see now why it is that a relationship outside of marriage that is so loving and so caring and so beautiful is actually so evil? It's because somebody who says that and lives that way has to shake his fist at God in order to have what he wants. Because God says, thou shalt not commit adultery. The command of God. There's a second reason, and that is the consequences. And for this, I do want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 5 and also Matthew chapter 5. But I want you to notice it says in chapter 5 in Proverbs, my son, give attention to my wisdom, incline thine ear to understanding, that you may observe discretion and your lips may reserve knowledge. For the lips of an adulteress drip honey, smoother than oil is her speech. But notice, in the end, she is as bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Now let me say this, that those of us who have never been hooked on drugs, we can at least identify with people who have that sensation, because all of us understand the awesome power of sexual temptation. All of us have passions that are explosive, and given the right context with the right person, it's like throwing a match on a can of kerosene. And we can understand that there is nothing that promises as much as sexual fulfillment. There is something within us that says, if I have this relationship, it really doesn't matter what the consequences are. One day I happened to be flipping stations on a radio and just caught a song that, I forget the words, but the idea was something like this, I'll fulfill my desire today and I'll deal with the devil tomorrow. In other words, it doesn't matter what the consequences are, I will do my own thing. But I want you to notice that the Bible is very clear that when we give in to our passions, several things become true. First of all, there is an inner defilement. That is one of the consequences. It says in chapter 5, verse 21 of Proverbs, "For the ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he watches all of his paths." You know, I think of all the things that couples have done to hide their sin. The elaborate plans that they make that they might not be found out. They have had telephones tapped, and they've had this and that, and their secret locations, and leaving in different directions and going in different cars and all that thing, because they want to say, we want to hide our sin from the eyes of men. But notice what the text says. The ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he watches all of his paths. God sees. God sees. God sees. And therefore, you can't escape the inner deadening and defilement. The text says it goes down to Sheol, down to the grave. I remember a young woman who was 29 years old who came to me, and she said that she was single and a virgin until the age of 29, and then she became mad at God. You know, if you're 29 and unmarried, that's the time when you begin to think, here I am saving myself for somebody, and God isn't giving me a husband. I'll show him a thing or two. This young woman had a relationship with a man she didn't even respect, and it's very interesting. She said these words to me. She said, you know, when it was all over, it was almost as if, and she said, Pastor, believe me, this wasn't a voice inside of me. It seemed as if there was a voice outside of me that said, ha, 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 now you're defiled. Now you're defiled. Probably the voice of a demon.
Yes, my friend, we are in a spiritual battle, aren't we? If I'm speaking to somebody today and you believe that you are defiled, remember this, Jesus Christ came to redeem sinners. Not just from nominal sins, but from great sins. I point you to Him. We here at Running to Win are so encouraged by the fact that some of our friends have said that they are willing to put up some money for a matching gift. So we are in that matching gift challenge during the month of August. That means that everything that you contribute will be doubled. Imagine that. And as a result of your help, we are able to continue the ministry of Running to Win in different languages of the world, and we are able to bless people. It goes into homes and cars and offices. I've written a book entitled Why Holiness Matters. If you stay tuned, in a moment, you're going to be hearing about how this book can be yours for a gift of any amount. And remember that whatever you do give will be doubled. If you've never connected with us before, this would be a great opportunity to do just that. Stay tuned.
You've heard Dr. Erwin Lutzer with part one of Living with Your Passions, a look at the seventh of the Ten Commandments. Erwin Lutzer says the God of Sinai is also the God of Calvary. He's written a new book called Why Holiness Matters, The Ten Commandments, Jesus, and You. A copy is waiting as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Or write to us at the Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.